two members of Millennial Rain, Dave Harvey and Tiffany Galshute, have come to share about their new album with The Antidote. It's so good to have the both of you here.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Tiffany, I need to hear about how you got mixed up with this band. I mean, didn't your mother ever warn you that metalheads are trouble?
Yes. It's quite the story, actually. We have a mutual friend, the band and I, and his name's David Houston. When he got wind that the band was looking for a fill-in singer for some shows that were coming up that their at-the-time singer couldn't commit to. And I think David at first was going to do it, but then he was like, I don't know if I can hit those high notes. It might be too much for me. And he was like, I think you'd be perfect for it. And I had never heard of the band at the time. I didn't really even know much about Christian metal, to be honest. But I listened to their songs and I was like, wow, these guys are great. It's a great message. I really like this. It's out of my comfort zone. I'll give it a shot. So I met up with the guys for a couple of jam sessions to kind of see how things worked out. And everyone just meshed really well together. And the guys liked me enough to have me on for those shows to fill in. And then as time went on, I just eventually became a full-time member with them.
How cool. Now, I have to admit that I looked into your other music projects, Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
You spent a lot of time doing tributes to Paramore and Britney Spears.
I did.
So the question is, did this make it a stretch for you becoming a metal vocalist?
No, I wouldn't say so. I think the way that I sing in my tributes, I think I sing the same way in Millennial Rain. I think when people hear me say Christian metal, they probably think of something like really hardcore vocally or almost kind of like primo, I guess. And I'm like, no, I just have a regular voice. I definitely think Millennial Rain helps me showcase my vocal range, that's for sure. But I don't think it's been a challenge like transitioning or anything like that.
Melodic metal is so different from screamo.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, Dave, I hadn't realized how long it had been since we last met. It was 2018 when you and I got together to chat about Millennial Rain's The Great Divide. But between then and now, the band brought out the EP, Carry the Fire Again. So what was the reason for bringing back songs from an earlier album?
It was mainly to have something, you know, when we play shows, you know, of course, just like any other band, we're selling merch, we're selling CDs, we're selling shirts, just whatever else. And when she first joined the band, which was in 2018, second album, The Great Divide, he was actually filling in because our first vocalist decided to leave and we had several commitments. We had shows in Mexico. We had several lined up with bands like Hammerfall and Striper and several others. And we had to have somebody to satisfy all these commitments. Anyway, to answer your question, she came in 2018. And we needed something to sell that had her vocals on it. We really didn't have time for a new album at that time, and we had just put out The Great Divide, so it was really too soon to try to put out something quickly to sell at all these shows that she was singing at. So what we did was just went back and re-recorded four of the songs off the first album and had her do the vocals, and we sold those at shows.
I think the standout from that EP was The Big Changes Found on Way Up High, because the intro dropped the guitars, and of course the key is you, Tiffany, on vocals. So I guess I can't be the first person to tell you that you have a gorgeous voice.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
But Dave, you were okay with doing those changes to the song itself.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, specifically the changes you're talking about on Way Up High, there were a lot of things on that first album that I was not very happy with. We were pressed for time, and at that time, I was just learning how to record and do things correctly. You know, I didn't mix that album. You know, there was just a lot of things that I was not happy with on that first album on the release. There were several things that I would have liked to change. And when we went back and re-released those songs, well, I was able to make those changes that I always wanted to make in the first place. So that's really simply was all it was.
Well, that was a couple of years back, and now we have what's new, which is World on Fire. And I know that the rest of your fans and myself have been waiting for this. Do you think the timing was right?
Well, a lot of the timing was mainly because of what happened in 2020. You know, we were set back quite a ways.
In fact, yeah, something special happened in 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah. The world lost its ever-loving mind. And, you know, it just kind of set things back for that whole year. We didn't do anything. Just towards the end of the year, we worked on a new video and a couple other little things. But as far as, you know, of course, nobody was doing any shows. Nobody was doing anything. So, yeah, that just really just set things way behind. And for me personally, 2020 was literally a time of soul searching. I kind of retreated back into the Word of God. I retreated back into just focusing on the Word and my walk with the Lord. And I even came to a place, I'll say this publicly now, the band knows it, but you know, I came to a place that where I was offering to give it all up. I didn't know at the time what the Lord had or what it was he wanted me to do. And I literally came to a place in my walk where I was, well, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. I'll give up everything, whatever it is. Just let me know what it is and I'll do it. For lack of better words, that was kind of a come to Jesus, because after that happened, it was like everything just started coming together and just really fell into place.
It really sounds like you're almost describing the one song I wanted to talk about, Bring Me to Life. You know, when I first heard that song title, I was really expecting a remake of the Evanescence song. But really, that wasn't it at all. Your song says, make me whole, heal what's broken, bring me to life, a new world opens. That's a powerful song. Like, I mean, really powerful. I do have a question about the second verse, because part of it says, my strength and spirit, as it soars your truth in me, inerrant word, the secular, it has no place. Now, I get where you're going with that, but how do we actually separate ourselves as Christian from the secular?
As a Christian, separating ourselves from the secular is definitely not easy, especially for those that are in like the beginning stages of their walk with Christ. Like I know for me, for instance, I'm still on my journey getting closer to God. And I've definitely, and I think Dave can vouch for me, I've definitely come a long way. And I think Millennial Reign has helped me a lot with that. And Dave himself as well has been great in helping me on that journey. And the more that you get closer to God and you dive into the Word and what the secular is, you kind of get some discernment. So there's certain artists and songs that I used to listen to and didn't think it was a big deal. But now those songs and those artists, I don't listen to anymore, especially if they blatantly, you know, do performances dressed like Satan, or they talk about Satan and demonic things in their songs. And that's when I'm like, whoa, yeah, we're cutting this artist out of my music catalog in these songs. And that's what I envision as the secular, anything that can, you know, poison. It's almost like poisoning an apple, you know, anything that'll poison it and not help it flourish, I guess, is a way of putting it.
I get what you're saying with that.
It can be hard to differentiate and to stop listening to it and being a part of that culture. But it's something that, you know, you just have to decide to do. And only person who can help you along with that is your relationship with God.
Well, I think that's the thing about Millennial Reign, because all of the songs are focused on God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are even scripture references for each song. But would there ever come a time where you would look outside of your faith to include things of a more worldly nature?
Well, for me, no. I used to do a lot of things on the side. And as a matter of fact, I played in a Bon Jovi tribute for 10 years. And we played all over the country, all over the U.S. and even outside the country. And, you know, I was doing that, but I came to a place in my personal walk. Now, this has nothing to do with anybody else, you know, that everybody has their own convictions. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, I came to a place that I wouldn't call it a vow, But I just told the Lord, look, you know, you've given me this talent. You've blessed me beyond measure with all the, you know, shows and people that he has connected me to through all this. And I personally will give my talents to the Lord from here to my last day.
One of the songs that has a really strong faith aspect is Onward to Victory. It says, his promise we will see, upon God's word we stand. His wish is our command. So you need to tell me, is it always easy to stay centered on God?
No, I mean, it can be very hard. I know lots of people fall off sometimes and they have to get back up. And I mean, not everyone is like that. You know, some people that are, I would say, stronger in their faith and have been walking with the Lord for a long time, I would say that's probably not as likely for them. But I would think people who maybe are newer in their faith and their walk with the Lord, you know, sometimes they can, you know, trip and stumble, and sometimes they can easily get back up. Sometimes they'll trip and stumble and it'll take a while for them to get back up until they realize, oh my goodness, what am I doing? So I think it just comes with discipline and then like the strength to have that close relationship with God.
To add to what she was saying, you know, one thing you have to keep in mind, Satan is not only the master of deception, he's also the master of distraction. You know, he throws things at us to get our focus on something else. I mean, it's something that you just have to stay focused on. You know, you have to keep the mindset. And the main thing is staying in the Word. If you're not feeding your spirit or not living in the Word as you should, well, then, yeah, you're going to have a whole lot more problems. If you're not staying close to the Lord, well, then what you're literally doing is opening yourself up, giving the devil a place. So, you know, it's something that we have to stay on top of.
On the album, a pair of instrumental numbers have unusual names, Exousia and Parousia. So you got to help me out with that.
Okay, those are from Greek translations. Exousia is basically authority. If you go back to the original translations of the Bible, especially a lot of what Paul was writing, and speaking of our authority that Christ has given us, you know, exousia, that's the Greek translation for authority that we have in Christ. Mm-hmm. And parousia is, you can kind of get technical on this. You know, a lot of people say the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, technically, yes, but not completely. You know, parousia, the original Greek translation, parousia was a snatching away. That leading into the song Crack the Eastern Sky. And of course, Crack the Eastern Sky, you know, if anybody with a little bit of biblical knowledge knows what we're talking about. And parousia leads right into that. It's a snatching away. You know, the recording that is at the end of the song, you know, it's basically people who were left behind and, you know, where did everybody go?
Tiffany, I'm going to pull you up front and center. Since you do the vocals on the song Trust, I want to hear your thoughts about this. I find so many people have trust issues because of lousy relationships. How can people be convinced to trust God?
Ooh, that's a good question, and that's deep. God is, he's just amazing. He's a father. And he wants nothing but the best for his children. I think whenever you're talking with someone about how good God is and how you can trust him and how you can lay it all at his feet and just, you know, put all of your trust into him so you don't have to worry about anything, to people that, you know, don't walk with the Lord, that probably sounds crazy to them. But I guess the only advice I would have on that would be to spend time with those people, because you can't just tell people something like that and then just, you know, expect them to just snap like, oh, okay, I'm going to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to help them along with that, you know, read the Bible with them, show them worship songs, invite them out to church, invite them out to hang out with other people that are, you know, fellow believers. Like, you have to introduce them to that life, because you can't really just tell them and then they're just automatically going to believe it and start living that life. I mean, maybe some people do that. But I definitely think you have to really get them involved in walking with the Lord. And when they do, something will happen in them if they choose to. I don't know. It's very hard to explain. I mean, for me, when I was, you know, starting my walk with the Lord, it's been a very emotional journey. It hasn't been easy, but I have to do the work, stay in the Word. I go to my church. I get involved in my church. I listen to worship songs a lot, songs to feed my soul in any way that I can. You know, I do things like my sister and I, we do like Bible studies together, and things like that is what's going to help you build your trust in God whenever you actually just give it up to Him. Until you do that and see the wonders that He does in your life, it's going to be hard to think, oh, how can I trust Him? Because he doesn't just do it, you know. You have to have a relationship with Him. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But it's true.
To add to that, you know, the thing about when you're living a life of obedience, you know, the blessing of the Lord is on you. The favor of God is on you. And people are going to see that. The blessing of the Lord affects every aspect of your life. And people are going to notice that. So, you know, living in obedience and having the blessing of the Lord, people are going to see it. And it's something that they're going to have to choose to follow or not follow for themselves. That in itself will bring you into trusting the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Here's something that I wanted to bring up with you, Dave.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier about touring with Striper.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I asked Michael Sweet of Striper about how he wrote lyrics, and he says he sits down at the kitchen table and he just writes the entire album in a single week. You're the founder of Millennial Reign, so really this band is your baby.
Right.
What about you for the writing, and do the other band members have any input into the songs?
Oh, yeah. Now, musically, what I do is I write the main riffs. And then I present it to everybody, and everybody adds their ideas. You know, I mean, it's not a one-man show at all. Mm-hmm. Now, lyrically, I don't write lyrics. I never have. And this time, we actually did something a little different. We used, I guess, what you'd call a writing team as far as lyrics go. There was Tiffany. There was Travis, who sang on the second album, The Great Divide. And then there's another friend of mine here that lives here in the area. His name is Jeff Sines. He plays in a band called Slave's Wage, which is a Christian band. And between all three of them, that's how they wrote the lyrics for this album. And, you know, of course, I told them, you know, exactly what it was we wanted. And I even had several scriptures. I would read something and it kind of stood out to me. So I gave them this scripture. I said, here, write something around this. And that's how the album, as far as lyrically, that's how it came to be, was everything was written directly from scripture. And then Tiffany herself, you know, when we were recording the album, you know, she was, as far as the melodies and everything, I mean, she did the majority of the melodies herself. Everything just gelled and came out really well. Everybody did a fantastic job. And it was a group effort, not a one-man show.
And it's a phenomenal album. It really is.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I want to bring in a personal favorite of mine from the World of Fire release, and that's Wandering. What really stands out about it is it had this unusual Middle East music influence on the song intro. Why did you include that?
Well, I've always liked songs with Middle Eastern flavor to them. Every album that we have released has had one song on there that kind of leaned that way. But this one was probably the heaviest Middle Eastern influence song out of all three albums. You know, the song was written, and again, Travis, you know, he's got certain software that I don't have, and I told him what I was wanting and what I had in mind, and just the, I gave him the general direction and everything, and as far as the intro goes, Travis did the majority of the writing on that. Actually, I sent him the song and said, look, this is what the song sounds like. Now, write me an intro that goes with that. And that's what he did. And he did a fantastic job of it.
Here's a final thought for the two of you. You know, there's no doubt, Tiffany, that you've taken top spot as the prettiest band member of Millennial Rain. But now, you got to tell me, Dave, has that left you feeling bummed out? Because now you're dropped to second place.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't think I was ever the prettiest guy in the band. So, you know, that really, I didn't really notice falling on the totem pole or anything. But you know, since she has come into the band, not intentionally, but it's like there has been a complete reinvention of the band. You know, it's not something that we said, hey, you know, let's reinvent the band. That's not what it wasn't even thought of. But after the fact, just really changed the whole perspective of the band and the way people look at us, even the music writing. When I was, you know, coming up with some of the main riffs and stuff, you know, I was thinking female vocals. So, and that did have a little bit of an impact on the way I did a couple things as far as the writing process. You know, so to answer your question, you know, I never have been the prettiest one anyway. So, you know, I'm not worried about that.
And I'm really glad that, Tiffany, that you've come on board, because you add so much to the band.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm like the little sweet tooth in the band.
Yeah, you've heard of My Little Pony. We call her My Metal Pony.
That's me.
It's been great having Millennial Rain back on The Antidote. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.